Praise the Lord, everybody. We thank you for allowing us to meet with you on another podcast morning, I'll say. I want to welcome you to another edition of the St. James Missionary Baptist Church podcast, where our theme is, how important is the Word of God to you when it comes to, and we need those continuation mark, because we talk about various topics. I'm your host, Brother Henry Cotton Jr., and I'm also the pastor of the St. James Missionary Baptist Church. And I want to welcome you to podcast number 12, where today the topic of our podcast is, how important is the Word of God to you when it comes to following the world's lead when it comes to treating fellow believers? Following the world's lead when it comes to treating fellow believers. Let us pause here for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to be able to come together, to look into your word, to find things old, find things new, to look for light, illumination, as we go through this world of darkness, to make sure, Lord, that we are going through in such a manner that it gives you glory, give you honor, that even the world be able to look at us and see you through our life living. We thank you and pray that you will direct our thoughts, direct our speech. Guide us as we go through this discussion this morning. This we do pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How important is the Word of God to you when it comes to following the world's lead when it comes to treating fellow believers? No. What am I talking about when I make this or raise this question or, you know, make this statement? You see, I don't know how many of you think that it's kind of funny how people who are not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are quick to tell those who proclaim to be believers and those who say that they are believers or Christians, they're quick to tell them how they're supposed to conduct themselves. I mean, it's just like when you're the work that you do, how many of you begin to share whatever it is you may be doing for a living? I don't care if you're a bus driver, street sweeper, a doctor, lawyer, but there seems to always be someone who is not even in that field that can tell you how to do what you do. And quick to tell you that. You know, I mean, you're out there in the street and somebody, maybe they tap your car or something. And by the way, y'all may be in an argument. They'll tell you, wait a minute, you're supposed to be a Christian. You're just supposed to do this, do this, do that, and do this. Yet they're not proclaiming to be a Christian, you know, but yet they're quick to tell you how you're supposed to treat them, how you're supposed to govern yourself as one. But what is also sad about this is that so many Christians, so many believers accept this. Now, if that person is correct, well, we can all stand to be corrected. You know, it doesn't matter whether the correction comes from young, old, rich, poor, you know, saint, sinner. But if they are partly correct or not completely correct, you should not be defensive and stand there and just receive this reprimand, this correction, this instruction from somebody who doesn't really know how you are supposed to conduct yourself in certain situations. And that's the position that I believe, and that's the position that I personally take on this. Too often, too often are Christians accepting this, and we see where it has stretched out into all different walks of life, all different parts of society. People who are not even Christians dictating how Christians are supposed to act, where Christians are supposed to go, what they're supposed to say, what they're not supposed to say, what they're supposed to do, what they're not supposed to do. And our voice, I'll say, I'm talking about believers now, Christians, are too silent in these matters. Some of us have should I say misguided actions when it comes to speaking up about certain things that we've talked about before, social community issues. We spend too much time campaigning over those things that really, really, really should not be our main concern. Now, again, as I've said in the past, I'm not considering myself to be the spokesman for the church, the spokesman for Christians. I am a Christian. I'm a member of a local church, but I am a member of the church, of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That means the whole entire Christian community. I am a member of that. So when I speak as with my voice, how I feel. If I'm quoting the scripture, it doesn't matter what I think, what I feel, what I believe. What matters is what the word of God says. So I want us to understand that. But going back to what I was stating, I've watched how a lot of people who've allowed, now watch this, who've allowed the world to say that, oh, the church is taking this position. You have a few people that are voicing their opinion. Maybe they're from a known organization, okay, maybe a known Christian organization, but that doesn't mean they speak for the whole Christian community. But the world will bump them up and put them as the spokespeople for the Christian community. Again, one of those things that believers just keep silent over. We see that too often, and we see how it affects the society, especially our children or up and coming believers. One of the big things, and we hear it raised it every so often, about okay, they don't have prayer in the schools. Now they say how yes, that they will allow you to read Bibles in prison, but they don't allow you to read Bibles in schools. And then they say, well, if they allowed them to read the Bible in schools, maybe they would not be in the prison. That sounds good. And for a lot of people, it's going to make sense. But my question along with that is when is a believer supposed to depend on the world to teach their children the ways of the Lord? They may not ever allow prayer back in the school. So that what that means, I don't teach my children, or I'm not teaching my children how to pray at home. Is that not where they're supposed to be getting their teaching? You trying to tell me, believer, that you have been depending on the schools to teach your children to pray? When even the word itself says to train your children up in the way they're supposed to go. You train them up, they're your children. If the school allows them to practice what it is you're teaching them or you're training them to do in school, praise the Lord. But if the schools don't, still praise the Lord because I'm teaching them, you're teaching your children. Okay. And then and these he said this is made to be a big issue because the world puts it out there to make it a big issue. But for many of us, it's okay, we understand that. I'm not mad at the world for not doing that. When I went to school, sure we did. We prayed. But I also remember while I was in school, I remember when they stopped it. That didn't stop me from learning to pray, didn't stop me from praying in my home, didn't stop me from praying at my church, which I should have been doing all along and was being taught that. So I didn't miss a beat as far as praying goes. That was always like a bonus to me. But that's that. But this is part of what we're talking about. We allow the world to dictate what we are supposed to do, what we're supposed to say, how we're supposed to conduct ourselves. And a lot of us say, well, I don't like it. I don't, really, but you're keeping this, your opinions to yourself. What good is it me arguing or debating this or voicing any type of opposition to those who are right there with me, to other believers, maybe to each other on the phone, in church, in studies, or whatever. Think about these things. This is what we're talking about when we talk about how the world is teaching or trying to tell believers how to act. You just think about that. Just let that fester in your head for a minute. Wow, I never thought about that. The world is telling me what I'm supposed to do. But this is nothing new. Paul addresses this well, in various parts of the scripture, especially in Romans. Now, but we could, oh man, I could spend a week, maybe longer if I wanted to, just dealing with how the scriptures deals with us as far as dealing with each other and dealing with the world. Okay, I'm going to look at a little bit of what the word says about this. I try to give you some context, hoping that you would take the initiative and take the time to examine the word for yourself. Give us some comments, as I often state, on how you may be interpreting or grasping these passages. Maybe you see them differently. Maybe you think I'm wrong. That's what we're here for, to see what the word is saying. Because like I say often, it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't really matter what you think. What matters is what the word of God says. If I've been doing such a thing, whatever it is, for the past 20 years, and all of a sudden I have the scripture opened up to me and say, wow, I realize I've been doing this wrong. Guess what? I need to stop and do it correctly, or simply stop doing what I've been doing if it's wrong. I'm reminded, let me share this with y'all. I'm reminded, okay, of this young pastor, new church, just fresh out of the seminary, signed to this church. So he makes his way there. He gets there to have the church meeting. The church is there to greet him and welcome him and all of that. And as he was up there before the church sharing some of the things that he wants the church to do and to start doing and maybe even to stop doing, I'm reminded one of the officers, I believe was old deacon, got up and said, well, Pastor, I know what you're saying is right there in the Bible. And I know that we should be doing, what it is you're saying we should be doing, but we've always done it this way. You see that? Is this not the same as so many people are saying today? Yes, okay, maybe what the people are saying is correct, is incorrect, or whatever. But we've always just gone along. We've always done it this way. Just the way things work. They say this, we go along with it, and you go, it dies down, and we just keep it moving. How long have we been doing that? Look at where it has gotten us today. Look at some of the crazy things that the world is okaying, making even into law. Because a lot of times when we as Christians, as believers, had an opportunity to voice and vote our opinions, we didn't. Because it always was done that way. And now you see where a lot of this goes. We're watching a lot of things happening today. It's not new. It may be new to us. It may be new to this generation. But it's not new. It's not new. Okay. Just so that I don't take a lot of these things out of context, and just to, so you don't say I'm just trying to find the word to fit in where I want it to fit in. I'm sharing with you where I'm coming from so that you can take it and read it for yourselves and make sure that we're not just putting words where we want them to fit. In Romans, the 7th chapter, okay, you see here in this 4th verse, this says this. Now watch this. So, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might hear fruit from God. Now, I want you to understand what he's saying here. Okay, I want you to understand that he was talking about when he was talking about married people. And if the husband was to go ahead on, or when the husband was to pass, the woman is no longer bound. Okay, no longer bound by those laws that kept her and how to govern herself as a married woman to a husband because the husband was gone. And he was equating that with the law. The law was all folks had at one point. Okay. And they abided by the law, whatever the law said. Okay. And he was introducing that now, for those of you who have received the Lord, as you say, have embraced him, have become part of the church, which is also referred to as the bride of Christ, you have different laws to abide by. Now, this is where confusion starts coming in. And we know that God is not the author of confusion, but this is where confusion comes in. Those people that come into and have infiltrated the church, and those who have come in and call themselves go to explain what the word says, that we have conflict. So Paul have taken the time to explain where our allegiance and our commitment to the teachings, the laws of God, where they fit when it comes to the laws of man. It's not difficult, but it is some deep, sincere reading. This is not something that you're going to read in a couple of minutes and I got it, I grasped it, unless the Lord instilled that type of understanding and wisdom to you. I don't know how the Lord is working in your life. Okay. But it's not that simple. And I'm not going to insult anyone and think that I'm going to make it completely plain to you in these handful of minutes that we're using. But that's why I'm introducing it to you, and I encourage you and urge you even to look deeper into it, and so you can see where maybe I have, because I'm known to do this, going through a lot of the things just to make it simple or simplify it for our time here. But I want you to check and make sure that I'm not taking anything, like I said, out of context, just to make it fit where I want it to fit. But I want you to understand what Paul is saying to folks. He wants you to understand that he realized that where believers may feel as though there's a conflict. Okay. He's going to make it plain to get you to understand. Okay. So let's go. I'm just putting things up, and then I'm gonna try to summarize it, like I said, simplify it a little bit easier. But again, I encourage you to look at it, read it for yourself. Get and of course, always send me your comments, and we can go along with it further if we need to. He says, okay. Now, he says, but now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the spirit and not in the old way of the written code. Now, I just want to point something out for you why I highlighted this particular part. Now, watch what he says here. That we serve in a new way. We serve in the new way of the spirit and not in the old way of the written code, simple physical law. This is important. This is important. Whereby the law govern how you're to conduct yourself day by day. Okay? I mean, it was a law for everything. When you're supposed to work, how you're supposed to work, when you're not supposed to, and so forth and so on. These were laws, and these were the laws and codes that people lived by. Okay? And he said, now, that's how you deal with life, real life, physically. But he wants you, but he's pointing out to you, but the Lord is pointing out, the Lord is pointing out things that's going to affect your spirit. This right here, like I said, we can spend time, and you're going to, is letting you understand, well, wait a minute, you're trying to tell me there's a difference in laws that govern us physically and go and laws that govern us spiritually. Yes. Yes, I'll say that without hesitation. Yes. And this is where the understanding and rightly dividing the word of truth comes in. But we need to understand. We need to understand important things about the law. There are laws written, okay, that allow us to do certain things. And there are laws written that dictate certain things that we must do. And this is where, again, lines are drawn. You see, the laws says that when you become a certain age, you're allowed to drink. You're allowed to purchase alcohol. You're allowed to drink. Now, there's also the laws that govern where you're supposed to do this, how you're supposed to do that. But the key thing I want to point out, the law says when you reach a certain age. Now, Paul also emphasizes without a lot of these laws, you would not have been tempted even to go into some of these sins. You just imagine when you come across the law, say, yeah, when you become 18, you could drink. Oh, yeah, I could drink alcohol. You might not even been thinking about drinking alcohol. But now that you realize when you reach a certain age, you're allowed to. Now, because you're dealing with man's, sinful nature to begin with, now I can't wait until I become able to do this. If nobody had pointed out to you, I might not even worry about it. It's just like, if somebody said, your family, you when you were a kid, maybe aunts, uncles, friends of the family all that, come around Christmas and they all had a gift for you. And you sitting there looking at 20 gifts and you felt so good. Now, your mother or dad or both or whoever may say, yeah, but that gift over there, don't bother that one. That gift begins to talk to you. Look at it. You cannot take your eyes off of it. You're not even focusing on the 20 gifts that you do have. Now your focus, your attention is on that one that you're not supposed to touch. Has it not always been that way? Can you say Adam, Eve? One tree that you're not supposed to touch. You have access to all these other ones, but that one I don't want you to touch. And that's the one that just stayed in you, stayed in them. Y'all know the story. Well, that's the nature. That's our nature. When you become a certain age, even some of us remember when you had to be 21 years of age before you could even go out and have a drink or buy a drink. And then some of us remember when they lowered the age in most states, I'll say a lot of states, to 18. And one of the biggest arguments for this was that they said, well, hey, if a person at the age of 18 is allowed to go into the service, go to war, fight for their country, risk their lives for their country, if they make it through, they should be able to come home and have a drink. And that was one of the biggest selling points. And next thing we knew, the law was changed and lowered from 21 to 18. And in some states, they just lowered it, and they say, "Hey, for veterans, for servicemen, you can come in." And that was changed also because there were some people who had gotten into the service even below the age of 18. But they said, "Hey, you're a veteran. You came in with the rest of the servicemen, the rest of the guys. Enjoy." That's the way some people felt in the kind of regard, if you will, in respect they had for servicemen. So what am I saying here? What am I saying here? You're seeing that even in the laws of the land, where the exceptions were being made and how it was, these laws were stretched. Again, these same people who are telling believers how to conduct yourself, even spilling to the point where it comes to spiritual matters. Now, I'm only looking at some of the 7 and 8 chapters of Romans, but we know that even throughout other scriptures, Paul is saying, no, when it comes to believers, we should be able to do certain things. We govern ourselves according to how the laws of the word of God say. Don't be going out here. We have a difference of opinion. And the first thing, I'm talking about believers now, you want to do is jump out here and go to court? When the Lord already shows in his word, this is what you should do to come to a conclusion here, to come to some sort of understanding. These are the steps you should be taking. But a lot of us, we just jump right back into the world over spiritual matters. Yet we want to complain when the world says, well, the world shouldn't be doing it. They ain't got nothing to do with the church. Well, you keep going out to the world and bringing the church to them and asking them to make decisions instead of following what the word of God says. He says in the 7th verse, what shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law, like we said earlier. If it wasn't for the law that says I could, I'm just using the one area of drinking. If the law didn't say I could take a drink when I was a certain age, I wouldn't even thinking about it. And that can apply to so many other things. In some certain places, the law allows you to go and take on a prostitute. But the word of God says differently. Now we're talking not just physical, we're talking about the spiritual ramifications. You see where the difference is? And what Paul says, now, believers, you need to understand certain things. And he makes it clear, it's not just a physical, lawful thing that you're doing, but he shows how it affects spiritually. And also, understand some things. Like we said earlier, there's some things the law allows to be done, and there's something the law insists or demands that we do. The law doesn't demand that you go to bed with a prostitute, but the law will allow you in certain circumstances at a certain age to do so. There's a difference. That means you can make a decision. It's been presented to you again, and now you've been tempted and you want to do this thing. That's your decision that you're making. That's one thing that the law said, I can do this. You can do that. But the world spins things a lot differently. And we who go off a lot of times not taking the time to examine this thing by the word of God, we run off and we start campaigning against certain things. We start running towards certain things. We start allowing certain things because the world says so. The world says, no. If you have someone of, I'll use the term that's so thrown out there so often, transgender, which there really is no such thing. You don't see anywhere scripture while what you do see in the scripture, the Lord made male, he made female. There's no other gender. Okay. But the world has incorporated that term, and the world has made this term to be appropriate or apropos, they want to say. And the world has influenced it so much that we use it readily in the churches. We have embraced it, and we're scared. Not yours truly, but there are a lot of people who won't even preach against this thing because they're afraid of what the law is saying, when the Lord is very clear when it comes to these matters. The Word of God is very clear on it. You see how the influence of the world is influencing even how the Word of God is being preached. Men afraid. What are you afraid of? Preachers afraid. We're afraid of what? Preaching what thus says the word of God. Don't you realize that the spiritual matter that we're talking about supersedes what man is allowing in the law? Realizing that, hey, you may live here to be 100 years old, maybe longer. But none of that is important. None of that is important when it comes to the eternity that you have to spend later. And this need to be taught. That's why the Lord tells us, and Paul said again and pray, woe be to me if I preach not the gospel. Oh. All of this is intertwined. But again, how important is the word of God to you when it comes to following the world's lead when it comes to treating fellow believers? This is a challenge to somebody. Say, this is a challenge to some Christians. Yes, it is. Stand up to the challenge. You can be offended with me. If you want to, that's fine. But I say to you, just like the mailman, I don't see anybody anxious to go ahead and shoot the mailman because that same mailman that's bringing you bills today. Used to be he might be bringing you your check tomorrow. So he just delivers the mail. So why, there's the old folks who say, why in the world would I cut off my nose to spite my face? If I get rid of the mailman, now he can't even bring me my check. I'm mad with him for bringing me a bill, but now he can't even bring me a check. I'm mad at him for bringing me bad news, but now he can't even bring me any good news. Beloved, this is a big question. The question that comes to again that comes to a child comes to a challenge for many people. It comes as a challenge to many people. Considering, wow, I hadn't thought about that. By me not saying anything, by me just going along, by me taking that, well, we've always done it this way attitude. Look at what the ripple effects of it. Look at how it's affecting our children. Look at how everything that we're teaching them, not teaching them, how they all intertwine. We need to remember and understand certain things. Okay. That all of these little things that are part of our lives help develop us into the so-called adults that we are today. All of these little things. As old as I am today, if the Lord allowed my father to be here, right here with me now, I don't drink, but there's no way I would sit down and be drinking with my father. I just wouldn't do it. Couldn't do it. The way I was brought up. Never considered myself my father's equal. Even as I got older and had children of my own. He's dead. And there's certain lines that I would not cross, even though I was, he may have even allowed me to. I wouldn't. But those lines have become, and I was going to say have become so blurred today, but a lot of times those lines are gone. Children speaking profanities right in front of their parents. No, you don't do that. You might be a cuss like a sailor, like they used to say. But I wouldn't do it in front of my father and my mother. Wouldn't do it. Just wouldn't do it. But those lines are gone. And it's gone by the very same people whose whatever their ethics or morals or lack thereof are based on are the same ones that's going to dictate to Christians, believe it, how they're supposed to conduct themselves, how they're supposed to treat one another, how they're supposed to treat them, based on what? What are they living their lives on? Based on what? What is comfortable for them? What makes sense to them? How they want to be treated? Doesn't matter if they're going to treat you the same way, but this is how I want you to treat me. Because you're a Christian, you're supposed to do this. It doesn't apply to them. You see how that works? My laws, the way I govern myself is what I want you to do. And then what I also want you to do is treat me the way your laws say you're supposed to treat other people. Don't worry about how I treat you. This is what the world is saying to you. But you treat me a certain way. And a lot of us take the defensive way. Well, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to do this. Not sure really how you're supposed to govern yourself. And Paul was making a lot of this clear. Romans, Corinthians, and a lot of his other writings. That's why it's so important for us to rely on the word of God, not what I say, you say, or anybody else says. The world, we look at what the world is doing today. A lot of things here in this country. I'm not talking about the whole world. It affects, I mean, it's a ripple effect. It's going to affect all different parts of the world. But here, where we live in America, a lot of folks are upset now over how those in position, in particular from the president on down, how they are doing and how the law is, that are being enforced and trying to be enforced is affecting them. They're dissatisfied with it. Well, what do you expect? What do you expect? This is what the world does. It's nothing new. Like I said, it's nothing new. Because we know who is, pulling the strings on how this world conducts itself. And we know that that's a discussion, that we have from time to time in a discussion. Maybe, well, for another time, we understand how Satan's influence goes throughout the whole world. We know that. We see it. We're living it. We're watching it unfold right before our eyes. We're watching those who were once in the same camp now upset with the camp leaders. But what are you supposed to, what are we going to do now? It seems like the camp leaders have turned even on those who will be helping them. So what are we supposed to do now? We were all in with you, but now we find out that we, as soon as we got all in with you, we look around, you done jumped ship. And you done done something, now we stuck in the boat. Beloved, let us be mindful of certain things. Laws come and go. Laws are stretched. Okay, laws are disregarded. I mean, come on. Here in this city, in Philadelphia, okay, do you realize that there are laws against spitting on the sidewalk, urinating in the alley, jaywalking? These laws are still, they still exist. How often do you see them enforced? Yet they're still laws. When the Lord said he did not come to bring peace to the world, but a sword to put mothers against daughters, fathers against sons. Don't misunderstand this passage. It didn't mean that he's going to cause them to be at odds each other just fighting. No, but that sword, the word of God, when you make a stand, when a believer is making this stand for the word, you're going to find out that those who are close to you may be taking the stand that the law says. When you make that stand and say, no, I'm not going out there to that bar. I'm not going to that club with, this all they're doing is drinking and carousing. I'm not doing that because the word of God says I should not, being who I am and whose I am. I'm not doing that. Now you're gonna be, oh man, come on, you think you're better than us? Nowadays go your friends, your buddies, your pals, maybe even family members that are causing opposition, making you feel that peer pressure, making you have to make a decision. Now, all it was either I'm going to the club or I'm not. But now they make it feel as though, oh no, you don't want to be with us. Now they made it personal. You see what I'm seeing? You see how they switch that? Satan's good at doing that. And it's whoa, whoa, it's not about you. I don't do that. If everybody, y'all want to go out, have a good time, that's your business, but I don't do that. How many of us fall to that pressure? All right, I'll go, but I'm not going to do this. Why are you going? Why are you going? Why are you going to a place where you should not be? Don't really want to be, but so why are you going? You need to ask yourself these questions. You're falling right into the plan, Satan's plan, and right into what the world has been doing and is going to continue to do to believers from now on. That's what they do, to try to get you to do something that you really should not do, don't want to do, but you fall prey to what the majority of folks are doing, to that maybe that line of we've always done it this way. You fall for that. This is part of what the problem is. You're allowing the world to dictate where you go, how you go, what you say, where you say it at, where you shouldn't go. We allow the world to influence us instead of living by what the Word of God says. Remember, the law allows a lot of things that the Word of God says don't do it. The world allows you to drink, even to the point if you want to be drunk, they say, hey, you were in the confines of your home. Okay. Well, hey, you were with friends that they could, make sure you get home comfortably and all of that. And the world says that's fine, but the word of God says no. You don't do that. You don't drink in that type of a, excess. You don't do that. You don't drink wine in that kind of way. You don't do that. But he said, well, the law, yeah, the law made it present to you, but the law didn't dictate that you had to do that. The law allowed you to do that. Okay. The law said, yeah, well, you got to, when you hear a certain sound, you got to bow down towards this idol and worship. The law says you are not supposed to be praying to your God at a certain time of the day when you, I mean, can you say Daniel? Can you say his three friends? But they said, wait a minute, that's what the law says, dude, now you've overstepped your bounds. You have gone from everyday life, everyday living. Now you're getting to the realm of the spiritual, of how the Lord says we for me to conduct myself in His presence. And now you're overstepping your bounds. Believers need to understand that. Sometimes the Lord tries to overstep his bounds. This is part of what the problem that we have when we start allowing the law to dictate how we're supposed to live. Now you see how it spills over to our spiritual lives. The Lord said, no. You can't preach this. You can't preach against that. You have to allow these type of people that are living, in particular, those who are living homosexual lives. You have to allow them into your church. You're overstepping your bound. You can't tell me what to do here in the house of God. The word of God tells me how to conduct his house. But once we start allowing the world to infiltrate the church like that and dictate, this is where we are. You say, well, yeah, well, back then we didn't have a choice. Sure you did. Sure you did. You say, well, if we opposed it then, we'd be put to death. Yes. And maybe not. Some of y'all seem to forget. Seem to forget. Was not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into the fiery furnace, supposedly put to death? Was not Daniel cast into the lion's den? Because they refused to have the world tell them how to dictate how they're going to live spiritually, to affect their spiritual, their souls, bottom line. Because that was not their realm. That was not their place for them to do that. And we're not going to allow you to, we're not going to receive that. We're not going to allow you to tell us what we're supposed to preach, what we're not supposed to preach, what we're supposed to teach, what we're not supposed to. No, we're not going to do that. You say, what is the law going to do to you? Put me in jail. Well, I won't be the first believer put in jail. And look at how the Lord blessed them. How important is the word of God to you, beloved? When it comes to following the world's lead, when it comes to treating even other believers, how important is the word of God to you? All of it. You say, yes, if I get put in jail, cannot the Lord meet me there? Cannot the Lord keep me there? Even to the point he could raise me up like he did Joseph from the jailhouse. Okay. To the White House if it has to be. How important is the word of God to you that you're willing to make these stands and say, no, y'all overstepping your bounds. Yes, there are some places and some things the laws can dictate. Did not even Jesus say, listen, you render to Caesar what is Caesar's. Yeah, there are some things that the world owns. There are some things that the world got control over. You do that, you govern yourself there. You've got to pay tax. You don't like it. You don't think you should be taxed for this or taxed for that, but that's the law. Fine. You follow the law. But when the law tries to make you do, not allow you to do, I say tries to make you do that which I say you should not do, you have to be prepared to make your stand, beloved. This is what you, part of what we see and we're witnessing all around the world, where there are some who are making their stand because they're realizing that the world is out of line when it comes to spiritual things. You cannot tell me that because this person claims or says that they are doing something that the Lord himself says is abominable to him, but you're telling me I have to allow that person to come into our local church? No, I'm not doing it. God said, don't do it. I'm not doing it. And when I make that stand, with the word of God directing me, make that stand for God, Watch what God does. Stop thinking that you are in control of things. Stop thinking that man has the final say of things. He doesn't. Remember who you are and whose you are. The world tries to dictate how you're supposed to live, not according to God's word, according to their laws, according to what? The same people who's telling me that I can engage in fornication, I can engage in all kinds of debauchery. The same people who are telling me that I can do these things, I'm going to turn around and listen to them and have them direct me in spiritual matters. Then throw your Bibles out. If you're going to let the world dictate to you how you're supposed to live, how you're supposed to treat one another, even, throw your Bibles out. Stop going around talking about you love the Lord. Stop. When you don't trust him enough that he will keep you, when you don't trust him enough that he will follow what he says in his word. Remember, even as we just spoke about this past Sunday, it's one thing to believe in God. It's another thing to believe God. They have to be hand in hand. They have to be one and one A, not one then two. One and one A. I believe God and I believe in him. They have to go together. They have to go together. You got to believe that God will do exactly what he says he'll do. You got to believe that he is exactly who he says he is. You have to believe that. Because you're not going to make it if you don't. Because you're going to be challenged. Your position as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be challenged by the world in ways that you don't even realize it. You may not even realize it until after it has happened. This is why what happened with Peter becomes so real to us. He did exactly what God said he would do. He denied it, and he didn't realize it until the cock crowed. Then he realized, oh God, what have I done? Don't wait for that to happen. Don't wait for that to happen to you. They say, oh man, why did I go to that place? I know I shouldn't have gone. Why did I say what I said? I know I shouldn't have done it. Well, if you know it, then don't do it. If you know you shouldn't go to that place, then don't go. If you should know yourself, you know that if I go there, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that, I'm gonna be tempted, but I'm gonna believe God. No, stop. Stop fooling yourself. Believe God completely that you know you shouldn't go. That's the first thought. I should not go. Then don't go. He's already told me in his word that I should not tempt the Lord thy God. Why am I going to go to a place and say, God, you got to keep me from doing this? No, God said, I already made a way for you. Don't go. What are you going there for? What is your purpose for going? If it's now, let me say this here, y'all, I'm gonna be done with this. I'm going to a place. I'm sending my children to a place where there are other great numbers of other children. There are many different religions represented there. The ones that are in charge, they have different beliefs as well. And a lot of their beliefs are not in agreement with my own. Why am I expecting them to teach and enforce my beliefs to my children? Why would I think that that's going to happen? I'm not sending my children to them to teach them what thus says the word of God. That's part of my job as parent, as guardian. If they do that, if they enforce my teachings there, praise God. I said that earlier. We need to understand, beloved, that we are in this world, but we do not have to be of it. And we should not be. The word of God tells us that. What are your expectations? I expect the world to teach my children the ways of the Lord. Expect the world to be okay with me walking in the ways of the Lord, and I'm walking in their way, walking in their territory, walking in their place. God forbid. We have a lot of work to do as believers when it comes to following the word of God. We're learning more and more, and we're seeing and becoming more evident of it each and every day, why it is so important for us to make our stand as believers. We should be standing out, not blending in with the rest of the world. We should be standing out. So yes, when it comes to treating each other, when it comes to treating the people in the world, yes, we're held to the highest, not a higher standard, the highest of standards. And that is what the Word of God teaches. And when we do that, God is always going to be true to His Word. He's not a man that He should lie. He'll be with us. As He has told us in His Word, you're doing what I told you to do, saying what I told you to say, going where I told you to go. I will be with you. Look at the condition. I will be with you in all the ways, even unto the end of the world. I know, yes, as you go out doing what I tell you to do, saying what I told you to say, there's going to be a lot of opposition. I know that. That's why I'm going to be with you. I know that some of you are going to be locked up. I know that some of you are going to be blackballed. I know that many of you are going to be ridiculed in many different ways, but I'm still going to be with you. If it comes to being comforted, I'll give you that. When it comes to being at peace, I'll give you that. I'll give you whatever you need to do what I've told you to do. Go where I've told you to go. Say what I've told you to say. I will equip you. It doesn't get any better than that. But you got to believe. You got to believe the word of God. How important is the word of God to you? When it comes to following the world's lead, when it comes to treating fellow believers as well as those in the world. Thank you for your time. Thank you for engaging in this bit of conversation. We know that we've only scratched the surface, but I pray that we've given you food for thought. I pray that we have challenged you to the point that you're going to continue to look deeper into the Word and deeper into yourself, especially for the believers. And for those who say, well, I don't know, you've raised a couple of points. You know, you may not be a believer, but maybe you have a believer as a friend, as somebody you know, maybe it's a relative. I don't know. Talk with them. If they're true Bible believing believers, they're going to direct you and where you should go about this issue that we're talking about today. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for opening up your word, granting us the wisdom and understanding to rightly divide it, illuminating us, Father, in those areas of darkness that we've been traveling. And we pray, Father, that as you have illuminated us, that we may let our light shine, even as we go about our daily occupations. We pray, Lord, that we can live and walk in your spirit always. And even as we go through the rest of this day, that we can do so, conducting ourselves in such a manner that even those in the world will be able to see you through us, Lord, that you might get the glory out of our life living. This we do pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.